Have you ever wondered how humanity actually plans its future in space? I mean, not just exploring, but, really living and working out there, extending civilization.
It's a huge question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it definitely needs a big long-term plan. But the real question is, are the plans we have now really capturing, well, everything?
That's exactly what we're digging into today. We're taking a deep dive into the UN's Space 2030 agenda.
Right.
And we're looking at it through a really interesting lens, a critical review from Space Renaissance International, SRI. We've got parts of their SRI critical review here.
And it really drills down into where the UN's vision might be, let's say, a bit limited, and how SRI thinks it could be massively expanded.
Yeah, so our mission today is to unpack SRI's main points, look at their, frankly, pretty ambitious ideas, and sort of figure out what these changes could actually mean for space, obviously, but also for us back here on Earth.
We're going to explore why things like space settlement and space industry might be way more critical than, current international plans seem to suggest.
Okay, so let's set the scene first. How did this UN Space 2030 agenda even come about?
Well, it really kicked off back in October 2018.
Hmm.
There were these meetings called Unispace Plus 50.
Right.
And afterwards, the UN General Assembly basically told COPIOS, that's the Committee on the Peaceful Uses of Outer Space.
Got it, COPIOS.
Yeah, they told them to develop this Space 2030 agenda.
And the agenda itself, the official title is Space as a Driver of Sustainable Development, right? It was actually adopted in October 2021.
Exactly. Now, here's where SRI's critique really starts. They point out that the word that just keeps coming up in the UN agenda is sustainability.
Okay.
I mean, sustainable appears 34 times, sustainability 8 times. It's clearly, the main theme.
But SRI says there's a catch.
There's a big catch, according to them. Space is only framed as a tool to help sustainability on Earth.
Aha.
There's almost nothing about space itself being a place for, sustainable human expansion. It's like space is just this toolbox in orbit.
Not a destination in itself.
Precisely. The document mentions exploration 17 times, usually like exploration and use of outer space for peaceful purposes. Fine, but guess what's completely missing?
Let me guess.
Settlement.
Bingo. Space settlement is just not there.
And SRI calls that a significant shortcoming, which, thinking about the timeline, is interesting.
Yeah, because look, the main UN 2030 agenda, the one with the 17 SDGs, that was drafted way back in 2015.
Right, before reusable rockets really changed the game. So maybe space wasn't central then?
Exactly. That's understandable. But this specific Space 2030 agenda,
Nice.
developed and adopted in 2021.
When SpaceX and others were already landing rockets regularly, the industry was, as SRI puts it, well underway.
Right. So for SRI, leaving out space settlement and manned space activities now, it just shows a kind of misunderstanding of the extreme need and urgency to really kick off civilian development out there.
Have there been any updates, any signs of change?
Well, tiny glimmers. Space settlement popped up briefly in a May 2023 document called Our Common Agenda under a section about humans going back to deep space. Okay, so a mention.
A mention. But then UNOSA, that's the UN Office for Outer Space Affairs, put out a detailed draft in 2023, Space 4 SDG, talking all about using near-Earth orbit for development. Still no mention of settlement, still very much Earth orbit focused, Earth benefit focused.
So what's the bottom line here for SRI? What's the big miss?
For them, it means the UN is missing this absolutely huge opportunity, not just for like civilization growing outwards, but even for achieving the existing 17 SDGs more effectively. The vision remains fundamentally earthbound.
That is a strong critique. Okay, so let's flip to SRI's alternative. What's their vision? They talk about adding an overarching objective five.
Yes, exactly. This is their core proposal to really reshape the whole thing. This new Objective 5 would focus squarely on civilian space development, space settlement, and space industrialization.
Making them key factors of sustainable development. Not just tools, but factors in themselves.
Right. And here's where it gets, really expansive. Their wording for this objective is bold. They say it should open the pathway to the entire solar system for all humankind
Wow.
by building human outposts in space, on the moon, and on other celestial bodies. Utilize the natural resources of moons, asteroids, and comets for the benefit of all humans and all terrestrial forms of life.
That's a much bigger picture than just using satellites for Earth
Oh,
observation.
absolutely. And they don't just state the objective, they list really ambitious actions to achieve it.
Like what?
Like rapidly setting up space stations and settlements, orbit, moon, Mars. And not just governments doing it, but private companies, public-private partnerships.
Getting everyone involved.
Yeah. and pushing the science and engineering for simulated gravity. Building spinning stations now as stepping stones to bigger rotating habitats later.
Which is crucial for long-term health in space.
Crucial. Plus, really going after solar system resources, moon, near-Earth asteroids, NEOs, using advanced mining tech.
So mining in space,
yeah.
And what else?
Developing a full-blown space industry in orbit, on the moon, even at Lagrange points.
Those stable spots in space.
Exactly. Processing materials found in space, including, get this, orbital debris.
Reusing space junk.
Yeah, to make stuff. Manufactured goods, parts, propellant. In-situ resource utilization, ISRU. Building a real space economy.
Okay, that requires serious transport.
Absolutely. So developing fully reusable, low-cost, safe, and interestingly, ergonomic space transport for passengers and cargo. That's key.
Ergonomic thinking about the people actually using it.
Right. And prioritizing research to protect people from radiation, cosmic, and solar. And pushing for urgent experiments on simulated gravity. Can't stress that enough.
What about things like space tourism?
They mentioned that specifically. Supporting it as a unique sector, bringing, you know, regular civilians into space.
And how do they propose making all this happen financially and policy-wise?
Through space-friendly policies, grants, financial aids, and fiscal discounts for the civilian space industry. Basically creating the right environment for private investment and innovation.
SRI seems to see this as more than just business or science.
Definitely. They frame civilian space settlement as the next step of peaceful human evolution and a key factor of sustainable development. It's about our future trajectory as a species.
How do they suggest getting the public on board with this urgency?
Big public outreach campaigns, using celebrity testimonials even, really driving home the message that civilian space development needs to kick off by 2030.
Wow. They also mentioned space-based AI and data centers.
Yeah, supporting things like AI, big data banks, servers for electronic money, all based in space, powered by solar energy maybe, connecting it back to helping achieve the current SDGs.
And linking space resources directly to Earth's needs.
Yes, like mining the moon or asteroids for rare minerals like cobalt, which we need for the green energy transition. That ties directly into SDGs 13, 14, 15.
And they want collaboration between big players.
Promoting peaceful development, fair competition, but also collaboration between initiatives like NASA's Artemis Accords and the China-Russia-led ILRS, the Lunar Research Station.
Okay, and then there's a really pointed proposal about weapons.
Ah, yes. This one's quite provocative. They propose a ban on weapons in outer space, an actual evolution of the 1967 Outer Space Treaty.
Going beyond just nuclear weapons.
Yes, and specifically covering dual-use technologies, things that could be used for civilian or military purposes. That's a really significant step towards ensuring space remains peaceful.
That would be a massive diplomatic effort, but arguably their biggest proposal is
adding an 18th Sustainable Development Goal.
A whole new SDG just for space development.
Exactly. Focused specifically on civilian space development, settlement, and industrialization.
Okay, let's unpack that. Why add a whole new SDG? Why not just amend the existing Space 2030 agenda?
Well, I think the idea is to elevate it to the highest level of global priority. An SDG gives it real weight. They envision this 18th SDG creating a sort of clearinghouse within COPOS.
That UN committee again.
Right. To bring together everyone, governments, agencies, private companies, NGOs, spacefaring nations, and non-spacefaring nations to align their interests.
So it's about coordination and long-term commitment.
Exactly. Ensuring the progressive and durable status of outer space development for the indefinite future. It's about embedding this into our global framework for the long haul.
Beyond these big picture ideas, SRI gets into the weeds too, right? Suggesting specific changes to the existing UN objectives.
Oh yeah, they go through the original four objectives and propose quite a few tweaks.
Okay, let's take objective one, economic benefits. What do they want to change there?
Well, first, instead of space being a major driver of sustainable development, they want it to be the major driver. A subtle shift, but it signals much higher importance.
Okay. More central?
Yeah. And awareness shouldn't just be about Earth benefits, but include settlement and industrialization on Earth and beyond.
And they want to integrate traditional jobs into space.
Right. Things like hotel work, catering, maintenance, farming, food production. Seeing these as jobs that will exist in space facilities, not just high-tech astronaut stuff.
That makes it seem much more real, more grounded somehow.
It does. They also say commercial activities need to look at research for protecting life radiation, simulated gravity, green environments, and habitats, and explicitly include non-space businesses in space activities.
What about fairness for developing nations?
They want to ensure a fair share and opportunity for non-spacefaring nations, not just, you know, something. Make it meaningful participation.
And using expertise from places we might not expect.
Exactly. Leveraging knowledge from rural or marine economies, advanced farming techniques, aquaculture, and applying it in space. That's quite innovative thinking.
Okay, what about Objective 2, quality of life?
SRI wants to add that space potential should also ensure the survival, growth, and continual evolution of human civilization. So it's not just about making life better, it's about ensuring we have a long-term future.
Raising the stakes again.
Definitely. And on climate change, they make a specific point. Promote mining the moon and asteroids for rare elements instead of deep sea mining on Earth.
Ah, protecting Earth's oceans by looking upwards.
Precisely. For settlements, support them both on Earth and in space. And this idea about data servers.
The ones in orbit or on the moon?
Yeah, fueled by solar power. Imagine moving massive, power-hungry data centers off-planet. That could support things like open-source data projects, like CERN's model, but in space.
Okay, Objective 3, access for all. How do they enhance that?
Making sure all countries, even non-spacefaring ones, have equal opportunities to join in and participate in the incoming cislunar economy, that Earth-Moon economic sphere.
And inspiring young people. They have specific ideas there, too.
Yeah, kind of interesting. They suggest teaching the history of altruism and compassion, as opposed to the history of violent wars. Focusing on positive role models, scientists, philosophers, artists, to inspire interest beyond just STEM into humanistic sciences, too.
So broadening the appeal. And linking settlement directly to innovation.
Yes. Enhance space settlement and further human exploration as a driver of innovation. And framing settlement, industrialization, and further exploration beyond Earth orbit as fundamental for civilization survival and continued growth. It's that survival theme again.
How about building capacity? Helping nations get involved.
Expand it beyond just tech training. Include space philosophy and related humanistic disciplines. And again, use knowledge from developing nations, agriculture, water management for space applications.
And education about space itself.
Correct misconceptions. Add space science history in schools. Explain how civilian space tech offers an alternative to military focuses.
And ensuring women are included.
Explicitly mentioned include women not just in STEM, but in space philosophy, space diplomacy, and all related humanistic disciplines. Broader inclusion.
What about asteroids, the NEOs?
Use their resources. For building infrastructure, for mining, maybe even engineer them into supply bases or habitats. Really utilize what's out there.
And for international cooperation.
Strengthen it across the board. Settlement, industry, exploration, but always for peaceful purposes. Upholding PAROS, the prevention of an arms race in outer space. And again, banning space weapons.
Okay, finally, Objective 4, safety and sustainability.
Here, SRI wants the UN to acknowledge this deep anthropological momentum, moving from space exploration to space settlement. Recognize it's a natural human drive.
And prioritize protecting human life.
Absolutely. More research on radiation protection, urgent experiments with simulated gravity, researching plants for green habitats.
And this is where the AI health systems come in.
Yes, this is fascinating. Promote AI-driven health monitoring, behavioral monitoring, even telepsychiatry avatars. They mentioned one called ISPS Vita, plus multi-omics profiling for deep health insights.
And remote medicine.
International telemedicine infrastructure, wearable AI diagnostics, remote robotic surgery.
Uh-huh.
All because you won't have doctors immediately available in deep space.
Uh-huh.
It's planning for the realities of off-world living.
Wow, that's thinking ahead.
And making sure supervision of private companies applies both on Earth and in space. Consistent rules.
So SRI doesn't just critique and amend. They also lay out a kind of roadmap, an essential plan.
Yeah, minimum steps they think are needed right now to get civilian space development really moving.
What's on that list?
Practical stuff. Recovering and reusing orbital debris for fuel and building materials in space.
The space junk idea again?
Yeah. Using moon and asteroid resources for the same purpose. It's all about ISRU, using what's there.
Makes sense.
Speeding up research on protecting life from radiation. Starting simulated gravity experiments now. Accelerating research on plants for space habitats.
And transport.
Designing and building fully reusable, safe, ergonomic space vehicles. And supporting the whole space tourism ecosystem. Vehicles, logistics, places to stay.
They also want to expand the UN's thematic priorities.
Right. Unispace plus 50 had 7. SRA proposes adding 10 more, making 17 total.
Covering things like
life protection research, space-friendly policies, orbital debris reuse, space resource utilization rules, space traffic management, coordinating geolunar industrialization fairly, communication networks, supporting civilian business, ethical AI use, astronaut health. It's comprehensive.
And the education piece comes back here, too, not just STEM.
Crucially, yes. Expand education to include space philosophy, diplomacy, and all humanistic disciplines. Regional centers should teach not just science and law, but philosophy, sociology, psychology, anthropology.
Preparing the whole person, the whole society, for space.
That seems to be the idea. It broadens what space expertise means.
And they call for more resources for the UN bodies involved.
Yes, a bigger budget for ONOSA and COPIOS. Why? To run that extensive public campaign we talked about.
To drive home the urgency of kicking off civilian space development by 2030.
Exactly. Make people aware that space activity is, in their view, the primary and key factor of sustainability.
So the ultimate vision is an upgraded UN space agenda, maybe running to 2050, focused on collaboration and fair competition for settlement, plus that weapons ban.
Could, as they put it, orient human society towards peaceful and productive legacies. It's a really hopeful, if ambitious, vision.
It really raises a huge question, though, doesn't it? How fast can these big global organizations actually adapt? I mean, space tech is moving so quickly. Can the frameworks keep up?
That's always the challenge, isn't it? Innovation tends to outpace bureaucracy. It's a constant tension.
So we've just unpacked a lot there. We've seen how Space Renaissance International offers this really powerful critique of the current UN Space 2030 agenda, but also provides this incredibly detailed visionary set of amendments.
Yeah, their proposals go way beyond just, you know, sending probes. It's about expanding our whole civilization, using off-world resources to help Earth, and trying to build a peaceful future out there.
It's a really compelling look at how one group is pushing hard to shift the global conversation, moving from just looking at space to seriously planning to live and work in space.
Trying to make that leap from exploration to settlement, really.
Exactly. So here's something for you, the listener, to think about. If humanity's future really does include living and working off Earth, what kind of fundamental shifts do we need in our values, our economies, our international relations? How do we actually embrace that kind of cosmic destiny?
And maybe even, how could a future where resources are abundant, truly abundant, in space, change life back here on Earth forever? What would that look like?